You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Hi, my guest for this second half hour is Dr. Suzanne Humphreys. This is Gary Kibsey filling in for Dave Fuller, and we're going to be talking to Dr. Suzanne Humphreys. She is an MD that has pioneered a work on the safety and effectiveness of vaccines. I'd like to welcome you to the show, Dr. Humphreys.
Hello, and thank you for having me on.
Now, may I call you Suzanne?
Yes, please.
Wonderful. Okay, now you are a nephrologist, is that correct? A doctor specializing in doing work in kidneys. And maybe tell us how you came to head on with vaccinations and to give us some background on that, would you please?
Sure. I am a conventionally educated medical doctor. I went to Temple University in Philadelphia, and I did a medical residency in New York City in internal medicine for 3 years, and then continued on for 2 more years to subspecialize in kidneys, as you mentioned, nephrology. After that, I took an academic position, and I worked in the field for about 14 years, teaching medical residents, students, attending physicians, the subject of nephrology. And around 2009, there were some patients that came into the emergency room who volunteered to me that they were fine until they had, quote, that shot, unquote. And at that time, I really didn't think very much about vaccines at all. I was giving vaccines to my dialysis patients for dialysis protocol. I just basically was signing orders. And I investigated all other possibilities of what their cause of kidney failure when they previously enjoyed normal kidney function and couldn't elicit any other problem. So at that point, I looked into what's in these vaccines and the potential for causing problems and found lots of case reports in the medical literature and lots of potential pathways for the various chemicals and inflammatory mediators that are released after vaccination to cause problems in the kidneys. And I was actually just met with much resistance from some of my colleagues from the hospital administration who insisted continuing a practice that I was unaware of, which is vaccinating patients in the hospital on their first hospital stay, no matter what their medical illness was, as long as they were awake and alert and could give consent if they were having, you know, a subacute heart attack or even an acute heart attack, sepsis, if they were on chemotherapy for cancer. They were getting both influenza vaccines and pneumonia vaccines. So at that point, there was about a year and a half long struggle, and I lost the battle on that. I asked if we could give vaccines at the end of the hospital stay instead of on the first day, and I was told no, that we couldn't, and that I was confusing the nursing staff by discontinuing orders on the patients that I was consulted on. And that's really a very short summary. I go into it in more detail in the book that I co-authored with Roman Bistrionic called Dissolving Illusions, Disease, Vaccines, and the Forgotten History, that's available on Amazon. And both of our forewords tell both of our stories in more detail.
Right, Suzanne. Now, there's been a lot of political material surfacing on vaccines, and I think everybody's familiar with the fact that some rocks being thrown back and forth with people who believe that they are okay and people who are questioning them. I have a lot of mothers with these small children coming into our health store and saying, "But I'm afraid as my doctor." They feel browbeaten almost. I guess what this new phrase that came up, protection of the herd. I really like the way you worded that. In fact, I really appreciated it because I kind of looked at that and thought, this is what's going on here. But you did it very well, and I'd like you to comment on that. But I'm wondering if I could go so deep as to take us to Disneyland with this measles introduction. 100-some people were infected, and then the media took off from there. That's when that word, I believe that's where that herd protection came into the picture. I wonder if you could take us to Disneyland and tell us what is the facts, the fiction, as you know, the truth of all of that. Can you do that for us?
Sure. Sure, absolutely. I don't really know what comments I made about the herd because I say so many different things in different places, but I'll just start by telling you what I understand about California. And that is that we are currently living in an era where measles was considered eliminated from the United States, not eradicated, but eliminated in that there were just small outbreaks occasionally when the disease was brought in from other countries, or so we're told. And over the past couple of years, there have been more cases than we've had in the past. And if you go to the CDC's website, what you will see are all the statistics. And so, you know, from around 2001 to 2013, we ranged from around 100 to 200 reported cases of measles per year. And in 2014, we had over 600 cases. And so there was a lot of alarm being set off at that point. Half of those cases were in an Amish community where nobody died, and as far as I know, there was no long-term sequelae or problems. As you know, the Amish don't always take vaccines. They don't even have an understanding of autism because they don't have autism. And somebody traveled abroad on a mission trip and brought measles back to the community, and that was considered a big problem. And then in around December of 2015, what happened was that there was an outbreak in California that supposedly started in Disneyland, although they don't even have an index case. They have no idea how it could have started. And when that happened, there were about 136, as of April 17, 2015, what I know is that there were 136 confirmed cases in California from that episode. And what we know of the breakdown from those people is that 57 of them were unvaccinated, 25, which is basically 18%, were vaccinated, and 54 we never found out. And why we never found out, I have no idea why they were unable to know whether that large proportion of this group were vaccinated or not. And so what we were told is that, you know, we have a national emergency, that measles is worse than Ebola, that our children and our adults and everyone is now susceptible. We all need to be getting vaccinated as adults, and people who are refusing vaccination are largely responsible for this problem. But if you look at the data and you understand the science of what the measles vaccine can do and what a natural infection can do, what the CDC is saying becomes complete nonsense. First of all, we know that 18% of the outbreak were in vaccinated people. Second of all, we don't even know if the index case was vaccinated. It's very common for an index case to be vaccinated. Third of all, when it comes to measles, we know that if you have natural immunity to measles, you maintain your immunity for the rest of your life, or at least for 75 years from observational studies that we've done in the past in isolated places. So it's a very good, solid immunity you get from the natural disease. And that's not the case with every disease, but it is the case with measles. And so for a long time, we had a large portion of the population who was protecting all the kids that couldn't get vaccinated, the babies, the immunocompromised, because they were solidly immune. And what's happened since those people have died off, because those are the older people in the population, is that we now have a younger vaccinated population. And we know for certain that the vaccine wears off probably, if it takes at all, on average, somewhere between 10 to 30 years, your vaccine is worn off. And this is very well established in observational studies. So what we have now are people that are vaccinated who, if they don't get revaccinated periodically, they're not protecting the young babies because their vaccine immunity has worn off. And the measles vaccine, if it does take, can protect you for a certain period of years. And it basically protects you because it's given you a case of the measles that's been injected. So that's how that works. But what alarms me most, and I think what is really exemplary of the problem with the vaccine paradigm, is that in the old days, young babies and older people, who are the people that are most vulnerable to having a bad case of measles if they do get it, and to having long-term sequelae like encephalitis or subacute sclerosis and encephalitis, which is basically a deadly brain disease, those people were protected because mothers who had natural protection were able to confer that to their babies and protect them for a period of 1 to 2 years. And that's not the case with vaccinated mothers, and that's also very well established in the medical literature. And older people maintained their immunity, so they weren't necessarily vulnerable. But when we look at what happened in California, where in the old days, the greater than 20-year-old contracting measles was probably around 1 to 3% of the population. After just this outbreak in California, it was 56% of people that got measles were over 20 years old. And less than 1 year old, it was 11%. And that used to be something like less than 1% also. So what this demonstrates is that even though we have an over 95% uptake for the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine in kids that are going into kindergarten, and we live in the most vaccinated time ever, the CDC is freaking out because, A, they're well aware, even if they're not saying it, that the vaccine is failing. B, that it's these vulnerable people that are actually catching the disease where in the past they didn't, and C, that people are catching on to the problems with this vaccine and they're starting to refuse it. And even though we live in the most heavily vaccinated era ever, they're pointing the finger at unvaccinated parents, which is actually ridiculous because California has actually a very high rate of MMR uptake. Actually, even when you look at the national average, it's higher than the national average. But these non-vaccinated parents are being alienated and persecuted, actually, by the mainstream media. And then we're having scientific studies, pseudoscientific studies being released, basically recreating history and saying that the measles is so dangerous that if you catch it, that you your immune system basically gets reset to back when you were a baby and you can become susceptible to all kinds of other deadly diseases, which is absolute nonsense if you understand the immunology of an infant and an adult. And if you even just look at the medical literature on the studies that have been done on the survival rates of children who got measles versus those who didn't. And the children in Africa, where all the studies were done, who got measles had a much higher survival rate when it came to infectious diseases. This is a complete, as far as I'm concerned, it's a propaganda scheme in order to continue this ball rolling to protect the pharmaceutical industry and the vaccine paradigm.
Okay, I'm speaking with Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, and we'll be back in a moment with more about vaccines and your health.